welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Podcast Guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can use to grow your podcast and then your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, you know, I think this is a really, I know this is a really good topic that we've touched upon numerous times in regards to that branding. It's that who you want the world to know that you are, I guess, would be basically. So we want to talk about that, building your personal brand as a guide for entrepreneurs, podcasters, all, you know, everything you do and touch, building that brand around that. And Yasmin, let's begin with that unique value proposition, UVP. What do we mean by that?
That's just a fancy way of saying that it's how you identify and what makes you unique in how you solve problems for your audience. So if you are a speaker on entrepreneurship or women-owned businesses, if you're a podcaster for crime, what is it that you're bringing to the table?
Right. Does that change over time?
In my opinion, it can, because you get to learn. So let's say if you're a crime podcaster, you get to learn what sort of storytelling will work for your particular audience and what aligns with your values and your personality. So just as a crime podcast junkie, there are some that just tell you the story, some that just tell you the facts, and others that almost recap the story but put in their own personal opinions. Even the WTF moments from a documentary or a crime that has happened. And so I think it can evolve depending on how you can set up some certain goals, but it can evolve.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in my mind, I think it probably should, because I think every entrepreneur, every podcaster has evolved. It's that, you know, even as simple as you began a podcast of interviews, and that's all you wanted to do is interviews, and maybe you evolved into, you know what, I just really want to brand myself and what I'm talking about because I'm doing this in the world, and I want to talk about just what I'm doing. If you're stuck in that one unique value proposition, you don't allow yourself to do something a little bit different. So yeah. Izzy, can you talk a little bit about establishing a clear brand voice?
Yes. Trying to think of the best way to say it. For small businesses, especially, I always say align it with who you are, because if you're the owner of the business, that's who they're going to be talking to most of the time anyway. So it gives it a more true tone to who you are and what your business is. Larger corporations always go with very boring and bland and straight to the point and blah, you know, they follow the rules at all costs. But there's some that don't even do that anymore. I think it's all changing now, but I think it really should reflect on what your company's culture is and what you believe the tone of your product is as well. So
I think you can speak to this really well too, is that, you know, with the change of what you guys are doing from, you know, Robles Designs to Rebel Marketing, you changed your brand voice and you literally had to choose a tone and a style that's true. And I know Yasmin's mentioned this, that it now you feel like it truly reflects what you are doing.
I would say so too. And then also there was nothing wrong with our past logo,
right,
but I felt like it was a little more feminine than we actually present ourselves.
Okay.
I don't know if Yasmin agrees with that, but now I just feel like it's more us. It's bold. And again, the tone now, I think we have it down where it's very sarcastic and very us. So,
yes. And I bring your example up because I think it's a really good example. You just recently did this modification. I don't want to say transition because it just, you know, you built upon what was already there. But I think it's a really good example that, yes, things can change and it can be changed even for the better because what you had before didn't reflect what you were doing. So now you're feeling much more comfortable, which I think is great. And you, you know, you mentioned too, and I'm sure Yasmin can develop this out, is that, you know, building that visual identity. You mentioned a little bit about too, that, you know, you didn't feel like, Yezzy, you didn't feel like it really matched what you wanted to do. But Yasmin, can you talk a little bit more about that visual identity? Yes, if there's, you know, building one or changing one, what are the pieces to kind of keep in mind?
Yeah, I think back to Izzy's point of, you have to know your voice before you do the visual. And I think our visual came before we knew our voice. We, you know, some of us entrepreneurs, we just kind of stumble upon things. We freelance and then, oh, I'm a business now. and I need a logo. And what kind of fonts do I like? And being okay with it shifting over time and finding your voice is key. But we also did a lot of not just visual research, but we did research on competitors and how they were speaking to people. And we noticed that there aren't a lot that are sarcastic or willing to wear or kick a chair. I think there's a photo of Izzy kicking a chair. So, or holding up a tequila bottle. So I think making sure that it still aligns with your voice, with the tone that you want to take, and then seeing how visually that applies. So looking at the landscape of, as a marketing agency, who is our direct competitor? Who are people that we look up to? What tone of voice do they have? And then how do they display that visually? And that's how we ended up choosing our colors didn't change too much, but the fonts got bolder. It's easier to read as well, versus thin or script fonts. And we still kept a few elements that were similar to what our original brand was.
Yeah. And if you go back to the basics, I know we've talked about too, and I maybe touch upon this as well, that, you know, colors mean something and the typography means something, that if you're a really an aggressive, high energy type of business, you probably don't want to choose blue as a color. Yeah. But colors represent different, tones and feelings that you want the person viewing it to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was also, to be quite honest, a little bit lazy. I really like the green that we have. So we kept the green, but we did add some of the colors. We made them a little bit bolder. And then the way we use colors, we gave each one a role. So for example, what color would our buttons be on a certain background? Mm-hmm. What colors are dominant and subdominant. So just knowing visually how you can stay cohesive will keep that visual brand consistent and recognizable.
Right, right. So putting all this together, Izzy, so there's an elevator pitch that needs to be put together to explain who you are. And I know we hear this elevator pitch term. How long do you think that should, you know, what are we talking about? 2 minutes, 5 minutes? Are we, you know, literally going from, okay, it's five floors. This is how long, and this is, you need to time yourself.
I think in business school, they always told us 90 seconds was the time for an elevator pitch. I still feel like that's a little bit too long to be ranting at someone. Mm-hmm. Especially in the framework that it's typically used in. So nowadays with sales and different things, if you're in that with elevator pitches, they think if they have this perfect elevator pitch down, that they are going to like nail this first conversation with someone. I would maybe say 30 seconds of like what you're doing and like what you do if they ask. If they don't ask, you don't need to run up to everybody and be like, hi, my name is Izzy Dadosky, and today I'm going to be talking to you about marketing. Like, it's not a natural conversation. I think it's kind of a turnoff of like, why would I want to go talk to that person again? Because then you're not being a real person. I think that even just goes back again to the tone of what your company's doing. So like us, we're very like, yeah, we're here. If you want to talk to us, we know that you'll talk to us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that elevator pitch, the elevator pitch seems to be just answering that question. So what do you do? Yeah, it's that. And you're right. No one wants to hear 2 minutes of it. Unless it, you know, maybe incorporates an example or something. I get that. You know, it's that, oh, I get what you do by you giving me that example of what you do. Okay, great. You know, that the positive outcome of working with you as a business, maybe depending on where you are, that sort of thing. Yeah, it makes sense.
And my other thing with the elevator pitch too, it's like, it can change with who you're talking to as well. Like if I'm going to go to somebody who needs a website, I might present the company differently than someone who I know might need SEO or social media or something. So then with that and what they've told me their pain points are, I'm able to change that elevator pitch and what I'm trying to offer them that will actually help them, instead of like me giving a 2-minute overview of everything that we do for the company. Like, yeah, I'm not going to give them information that they don't need. So again, it's just like finding out what they're struggling with. And then if I'm able to help them, like show them like the pain points and different things that they mentioned and how we're able to solve that. So,
yeah, I had the same thing this weekend. Someone asked me, I was introduced as what I do, podcast consultant. And they said, well, what do you do? And of course I gave them the 30-second elevator pitch. And then it turned into, I'm always, or this woman who was asking me this, said, you know, I'm always intrigued by how technology or new things that come up create these new industries. And it started a whole different conversation. So yes, to that point, you don't stop the conversation by making this too long. You're actually, yeah, they're wanting to pull something from you as well too, and begin maybe a different journey that all of a sudden you get to kind of show off what you know through this whole journey of this conversation. Yeah.
Yep.
There's also an opportunity, Yasmin, of the leveraging all this content that you're creating. I think it's that looking at, rather than just, I got to create. It's that, what have you created as well to use it in other forms? And can you expand a little bit on that too?
Yeah, I think of your content for when you're dealing with personal branding, podcasters, entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches. Think of your pillars of what you're going to be known for. You can have, let's say, 3 pillars. And if it is female entrepreneurship, finance, and something else, that's always what people will look to you for. And then you can craft your content around that. So a few ways would be the blog posts, podcasting, obviously we're podcasting, videos, social media posts. These are all things that you can share. But then you can also reuse. So let's say you were interviewed, maybe you don't have a podcast, but you were interviewed on a podcast. Can you take those nuggets that you spit out and create a blog post out of it, put it on your website, then share it on social media? Are you able to get clips of that podcast episode to share on LinkedIn or video clips? Were you able to get any of that? Can you get the video and put it on YouTube? You can reuse a lot of the content that you're creating. And as long as they fit within your top pillars, they will always feel like they're you versus you just, like, let's say if you are into female entrepreneurship and then randomly you talk about how the different meanings of flowers or colors, that's just going to feel weird. But if you know what your content pillars are, you can always go back to them and see where things fit and create content based off of that.
Yeah, I think you and me, we three as companies, basically, let's put it that way, Rebel Marketing and Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants, I think we do a really good job of, because I know we do, because I see when we bring these ideas up to people going, hey, have you done this? Well, you could reuse this to do this. And they go, I can. Or we encourage them to do, because it's as in your world of creating content, put on the website to refresh the website, to keep it up, you know, something new on it. Where me is just like, yeah, all these different things you can do to spotlight that you've been here doing this, doing that, and utilizing an interview that you were just a guest on, or a guest blogger, or whatever the case might be, that really taking advantage of those opportunities that you can showcase that somebody asked you about what you thought about something outside. And the vice versa is true too. If you're bringing someone in, let them be able to share what you've created with them as well too. And Izzy, I know you are big on this, engaging authentically on social media, which I'm going to go back to. Rebel Marketing does a really good job of this. Talk a little bit more about that engagement piece of examples you see, as well as what you're trying to accomplish with Rebel Marketing.
Yeah, so especially on different platforms, I think it all changes. So LinkedIn, I think they're kind of getting sick of like the, I'm such a boss and I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and then I went on a marathon. I ran a marathon and then I got to office, so everybody else is lazy and I'm so great. So I think that's how
I'm you think it's LinkedIn, or is that us getting tired of it? Or both of it?
I think it's everybody. I hope to God it's everybody.
I think so, too.
Who cares?
I know.
I think nowadays it's more like, oh, is that relatable to me, a normal person that they're looking for on that platform?
Yeah.
TikTok, it's like, it's going to show you what you actually want to see. So that one's a little bit harder. And then Instagram Reels, it's all about who you're following and what you've been liking on there, too. So with our socials, again, I try to make it, if it's videos, I try to make it short, quick, edited, so people can stay around and try to capture their attention. So like I edit in a certain way purposefully in hopes that they stay and watch the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
And again, I feel like I try to talk in our tone voice when even making those videos, because again, and it's not even hard to do because I don't have to try, because it is the company voice, because it's very much us. And even just like doing it sometimes on my personal LinkedIn, it's like, why do I need ChatGPT to like write a caption for me saying I wanted to be a WWE wrestler when I was a kid? Like, I didn't need to do that. It took 2 minutes. Yeah. And it's also going to sound better probably coming from my mouth than ChatGPT. So,
right.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I agree. Exactly. But what you just said encapsulate everything we just talked about, is that really finding your voice, brand yourself, know exactly where you're going with it, and being comfortable in your own skin. That way, when you do respond and you're on social media and you're out in the real world, you are who you are. You don't have to pretend to be something else. No, I think that you summed it up really well there, that helps you do social media better, which is great. Yep. I know, Yasmin, you've made comments to this about, you took almost a full year to network, do different networking events and such like that, to really kind of go, I don't like doing this, I liked that, that was good, never again, you know, that sort of thing. Talk about strategically looking at networking.
I think it just goes back, and I know networking is scary for some people. Some people don't like it. Others thrive on it. And I just felt tired doing it. but looking at your goals. So we're talking about personal branding. Now, if you are an entrepreneur, where are your potential, where's your audience at? So let's see, if you're a realtor, even you're looking for clients, you're probably not going to go to a realtor conference because that's not where your clients will be. So thinking strategically about what your goals are when you go networking, what type of networking event, what type of people are typically there. And then what I ended up doing was just kind of just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what I liked and what I didn't like. So knowing your goal and knowing your brand voice. So if we are Rebel Marketing and our goal is to find X type of client, we can go, Izzy and I can go to an event, and if it doesn't feel like Rebel Marketing, if it doesn't feel like Rebel Marketing is comfortable in there or welcome, or like we have to wear a suit and tie or look like a banker, we have to wear heels. Heels, I feel like sometimes it makes you look like a badass and sometimes you just don't want to wear heels. And if it could be optional, then we feel comfortable. But if it's something where we have to dress up on purpose, and it just, for me personally, and I don't know about Izzy, I don't want to speak for Izzy, but that just feels tiring and I'm old. So, and knowing our brand voice, if we said something like marketing should fit you like your favorite pair of stretchy pants, but we're in a room full of like bankers and people wearing ties, that might not fit for Rebel Marketing, right? So knowing your brand voice, knowing I guess even the visual of how you want to display your business when you walk in, what kind of outfits you want to wear, will help dictate where you feel comfortable networking and then where you get the most bang for your buck, I guess, and for your time.
No, yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense. I know this next point, we could do a whole episode on in regards to testimonials and success stories, mainly on how to get them and how to utilize them. But that, let's say you have them, Izzy, and it's like, what do you do with them? You know, I think it's important to highlight those testimonials and success stories. Give it, can you, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, how to showcase that feedback.
I think the best way to go about it is, so I try to think, how should I explain this? When I Google businesses, I always look at their reviews, but then I also go to socials and different things to see if anybody's posted about it. Because sometimes with Google reviews, even nowadays, I'm like, did they just have their cousin post this review on there for them? So one, when we post it, we've been having people do testimonial videos just so it, if they want to record a testimonial video for us, it just makes it a little more genuine. Coming from them, we'll give them like prompts if they want to have that, just to kind of like lay it out a little bit better. But just doing it that way too can answer some of the questions that people might be looking for when trying to decide if they want to choose us as their marketing person. So that's one way. Or I know a lot of people just do like a graphic with the quote on it, and that's fine too. But even like tagging them to show it's like a genuine review too would be a good thing. So, yep.
Yeah. I was going to say there can be some, you see them and you kind of wonder, you know, it's a, you're right. There are certain ways, certain strategic movements here, I guess, to at least legitimize that you just didn't make this up or put a client up words in clients' mouths or something to that effect. Like, I never really said that. We're not really doing that. So yeah. Obviously we don't want to forget making sure that your home base, your website, as well as your social media profiles optimize what you are doing online. And Yasmin, can you talk a little bit more about how to, you know, to make sure that it is optimized, your online presence?
Yeah, so it depends on, it goes back to your goals and what your business is. If you're a podcaster, if you're a speaker, I would say if you're just starting out, at least get yourself, like, look at all of your personal profiles on social media, LinkedIn, and review how you're coming across. Now, they're going to be different. So if you're a speaker and you're on LinkedIn versus Facebook versus Instagram, you might be posting different things. The tone might be more casual on Facebook, but just keep in mind that people might be crossing over in seeing that brand, that personality from LinkedIn as well as on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you have those and you're posting on LinkedIn regularly or wherever it is that your audience might be listening to you, I would say the next step is to get yourself at least a landing page on your own website, somewhere where you own what gets posted, because you can't truly own what is being shown on LinkedIn on your profile or even like Instagram, right? They slightly changed the grid where it's not fully a square anymore. It's slightly taller. And so now everyone's grid, if they designed it, everyone's grid is just slightly off. But you control your website. So I would say at least a one pager, and then you can build off of that. As a website person, I would say if you're a speaker, for example, have a homepage, have a page all about you, and have a page about where you've been, what press you've gotten. If you have a podcast, have a podcast feed in there, or you reutilize the podcast as a blog area. So you can really build off of that. It's almost like having a plot of land, building a shed, and then continuing to build this completely beautiful mansion because you own it. And then optimizing it. I mean, there's ways, I mean, Izzy could probably also dive in, like SEO. And I think we've talked about it in previous episodes. SEO, there's best practices for visuals. But again, if you're starting out with a website, even if it is a one pager showing people how to stalk you online or contact you, having a few, maybe a brand shoot with a few photos on there, that's a nice way of showing people that you're a professional, that you're serious about whatever topic you speak about, and you're here to stay. You're not here. You're not just going to disappear in a week.
Yeah. I've been noticing it getting better over time, but that landing page, or that at least the website that they own, the contact information of who they are and such. And it's, I guess to me, maybe it's maybe a little bit of that stalking thing, but I'll see a business that maybe has contacted me and I want to learn a little bit more about them, where they, even if just literally where their business is. And I know a lot of businesses don't have brick and mortar. I get that, but they do have kind of a home-based city. To a certain degree, they're kind of known to be in Indianapolis or Atlanta or something like that. And I'm running across a lot of businesses that don't even know to note that. And I kind of get it. I get this, like, hey, we're all remote. We really don't have one city that we're a part of. But there is some, to me, there is something to be said about stating where you are, you know, or at least kind of pick a region. I don't know, but it's the same thing as that contact information too. But I don't know, maybe that's a trend you're seeing. Maybe more and more people just don't want to have a locator on their website.
I would say it depends on your type of business. Yeah. You can still say, you know, serving the Central Ohio region, or serving Columbus, Ohio, and surrounding areas. On Google My Business, if you have one of those, you don't necessarily have to have an address, but you can showcase which areas you provide services to. Now, if you're a speaker and you're willing to travel, you can note that, you know, based out of Columbus, Ohio, and willing to travel, I don't know, all internationally,
yeah,
or whatever.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Especially if you already have, you can showcase those images. Like if you're going to Thailand to a conference or something, or a retreat, you can have those images on the site and showcase that you're not just going to be only in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. Hopefully that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah. I'm just seeing it more and more. And maybe it just happens that happened to contact me. They just don't have that on their website, but I don't know necessarily what it means or not. I just put it out there for food for thought, basically. So, you know, and finally, Izzy, you kind of have said a lot about this already, but you know, maybe it's time to reinforce it, that just staying consistent. You may expand a little bit on more on that. Just stay consistent.
If you're not posting, then people will forget about you in the harshest way I can say it.
Yeah. True. True. And then wild. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you say that, though, that's pretty much specific to different platforms, though, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
Knowing what the pattern is of how often you really need to be posting on Instagram versus LinkedIn versus Facebook and such like that. So, I mean, I guess overall LinkedIn's a little bit more forgiving because you don't have to post as often on LinkedIn compared to TikTok.
Yep.
Or thing, which goes back to the strategy of what social media you want to play in.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good point, reinforcing the brand and everything. Yeah, it's so easy to lay back and say, yeah, I'm tired this week, you can't do it. It's like, no, you gotta. or plan ahead when vacations come, that you've got to say, yeah, I've got to put it in the planner, or have an assistant take care of whatever. Just it's that you got to recognize it's kind of a hamster wheel of keeping going. But it goes back to our points previously, repurposing content and knowing all the other things that will help you get through those tough times, lean times, vacation times, to keep it going. That sort of thing. Yeah. What would be, you know, a listener is now intrigued by this whole idea of, like, you know, I don't have a personal brand. I really need, or I do, but I don't like where it's going. It doesn't feel like me. I heard you three talking about Rebel Marketing going through some changes. I need to get a hold of you. What would be the best way to get a hold of both of you?
You can go to myrebelmarketing.com. You can also download a checklist. You could probably use it for your personal branding as well. It's myrebelmarketing.com/checklist. And you can always hit us up. Izzy does a really good job, if you look at her LinkedIn profile, of posting consistently. It looks authentic. It is authentic. It's in her voice, but still slightly, you know, it's still Rebel Marketing. And if you're looking to create that personal brand, let's say you're an intern, or you're looking for a job, or you're looking to switch career, whatever it is, or you're just looking to get more, to get noticed on LinkedIn, check out her profile, because it's a way of staying top of mind, but without bombarding people with or annoying them in a certain way. I don't know, Izzy, if you allow people to check out your profile.
Yeah, and I was going to say, even just real quick with the consistent posting thing, last month I told myself I was going to post every day on LinkedIn for 2 weeks, and I did, and my engagement went up by 5,000%. So, and I was posting just random stuff, so just post, and it works out.
Wow, and that short of a period, 2 weeks, that's a pretty quick result for LinkedIn. Knowing what changes, that's just not a wow. That I can't even put words around. That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. That's a big number.
So just post.
Yeah, just post. Exactly. Yeah. And if you need to get a hold of me in regards to looking at the podcast per se, and bringing these two on board, we all of us on Circle Sessions work together when it is needed. You can get on my calendar at mypodcastguide.com. Glad you both could join me today. This was, again, always a great topic, but I think it's, if we can leave the listener with some doubts and stuff to think about, that's what it's all about. It's like, yeah, that's not right. And it's not to trick or to get into anybody's head, but it's that it's always stuff to think about. And there are people out there that you can contact that will kind of walk you through it and help you through it. And I think I love that we can do that every week with the podcast. So thanks for joining me.
Yeah. Thanks for helping us break down people's self-confidence.
I think exactly. That's what you're saying. Yeah, exactly.
Break it down and then we build you back up.